The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody pointed out that teams have fire. I didn't say they never did. I said it's tough to just fire a coach who's getting double-digit wins and going to the playoffs, that there's a conversation to be had. It's not as easy as just get rid of him. Pointed out Marty Schottenheimer was an 11-win, actually a 14-win coach that got fired. Remember that? In 2006, they fired Schottenheimer at the height of the Tomlinson-Rivers era in then San Diego. They did. They fired him. After a 14-2 season, they got upset in the wild card game. I think I covered that game. I think that was the Jets game. And then the Jets came here and Doug Bryan missed field goals, or Bill Cowher's team would have lost in the first round. So out goes Schottenheimer. In comes Norv Turner. And they got a little bump from Turner. They won a couple playoff games the next year, but they couldn't get past the Patriots, just like Schottenheimer. And since that move, the Chargers have won 5 playoff games in 20 years. And, of course, have famously only been to 1 Super Bowl where they got their doors blown off, and that was before those guys ever got there. So, yeah, they got a small bump from that, but, you know, they've never been where you want to go either. 5 playoff wins in 20 years and no trip to the Super Bowl for the Chargers. Listen, I'm still also giving this season a chance. I think I'd be foolish not to. They have a chance. He has a chance to regroup here, get healthy. I think they'll beat the Bengals in the final game, and then let's see if they can win a playoff game. And I do think it's a big deal. I think winning 1 playoff game would be a big blanking deal. There's no conversation on what's bigger, winning a division or winning a playoff game. That's not even a conversation. That's like I did good on my social studies test at the end of October, but I failed the final, or vice versa. I failed that one on, you know, the Gettysburg Address, that pop quiz on the Gettysburg Address back in October, but I aced the final. Or at least one of my finals. You know, you could still fail after that, I suppose, in the divisional round of the championship game. I'm not predicting that, but I'm going to watch the rest of the season. I don't think necessarily the season's done. If I were to bet, however, right now, if I were to bet, are the Steelers going to win a playoff game? I would say no. How about you, Sean? If I told you I had to bet everything you own, including those beautiful headphones you have, whether the Steelers win a playoff game, would you bet they'd win or lose?
Not knowing the opponent. I'm going to say it's more likely they lose. That would be my bet.
All right, I'll give you opponents.
Okay.
Ravens on the road.
Lose.
Chargers. Well, no. Wait a second. Who are the prospective opponents?
Baltimore,
right now?
Buffalo, and Houston, I believe. Because the Steelers... Well, I guess the Steelers could win... Man, the division still.
They could, even though the Browns have quit. And there's one guy on there who told me, stop harping on the Browns game. The Ravens lost to them too. No, I'll never stop harping on that game. I don't care what the Ravens did. The Ravens made up for it, and now they're in first place. What are you talking about? Plus, they had that game won, and Kyle Hamilton dropped an easy interception right in his hands. But the real point is, that hasn't affected the Ravens, has it? It's affected the Steelers, and the Browns haven't won a game since. That was one of the worst losses of Mike Tomlin's career because of the way he coached that game. And the decision to have a frozen quarterback come in and throw a pass with the game on the line instead of your red-hot starter at the time was one of the most mind-boggling, ridiculous decisions in Tomlin's coaching history. So thank you, Jason, or whatever your name was, who tells me to stop harping on the Browns game. I might open every show with it for the next 365 days in your honor because it was that ridiculous. That team was ready to quit. They haven't won a game since. They're falling apart. Their quarterback got benched after that, after what he did to the Steelers that night. It was an unforgivable loss. So let's dedicate the rest of the show to him, shall we? Whoever that guy was.
What was his name? Jason or something?
I don't know what his name was. Merry day after Christmas, although it's rather depressing right now in the sports world. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Did anybody find that Skeens card? Was it under anybody's tree yesterday? Have you seen a story?
It wasn't under my tree. No, I haven't seen anything about that yet. Maybe it's they don't want the public to know because they would be hounded by people coming. It's like if you win the billion-dollar lottery, sometimes you kind of
I guess,
play it
but
cool.
Somebody must know. Something just seems off with this whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, so everybody got bought all these packs of cards on the idea that it wasn't found yet, and now it's still not found on Christmas. And shouldn't we know not who found it, but if it was found, so we don't continue to buy up packs looking for it, Sean?
Yeah, I'm looking now, and I don't see. I guess there are some other big Skeens cards that have been pulled, but not the elusive one. Doesn't look like anyone has.
Let's hit the phones,
please. All right, we'll go out to Connellsville to hear from Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
So, two takeaways I've seen from yesterday's game was, one, George Pickens is really starting to remind me of Antonio Brown. You know, he's getting upset he's not getting the ball. They're ripping his helmet off. You know, if Bill Cowher was coached still, he'd got pulled out of that game quick.
Here's what I would say to that. You're right. Well, I don't know if Bill Cowher was. Come on. Bill Cowher had his own problems and appeased players left and right, like Plaxico Burress, who was late to meetings all the time. So I'm not going with that comparison. But George Pickens, that act is getting real tired. That act is getting really tired. And here's what I would say is that his obvious importance, which was accentuated the past couple weeks, might only make that worse. Might make it worse, but go ahead with your second point.
So the other thing I noticed was I haven't been to a home game in a long time where the crowd got taken out in the third quarter like that, where you could definitely hear Mahomes' cadence every snap.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Man, I'll say, I think people were filing out by Renegade. Maybe a better choice at that point would have been Silent Night, Sean.
Did you hear? I think it was our colleague Jack Hillgrove maybe that asked Tomlin the question about, was that something that anyone noticed that all the fans were filing out in the fourth quarter? And of course he said no, we were focused on what was happening on the field or whatever. But yeah, that was a rare sight for a Steelers game to have people pretty much know the entire fourth quarter was inconsequential.
It was a really, really bad day in that stadium. One of the worst, I would say. Not the worst, but one of the worst in the regular season in terms of just sheer frustration, sheer depression, the realization. It, you know what it reminded me of was the 49ers game Was it last year at the beginning
of the year? That was the season opener last year, yep.
Because it just showed you, oh, we're not that.
Yeah, all that right off the top. Optimism quickly went out the door after that game.
Right off the top, the heavyweight or one of the heavyweight contenders let you know you could go on to win 9, 10 games, whatever you want to do this season, you ain't us. And the Chiefs let the Steelers know that, you know, yesterday. It was such a grotesque mismatch. What else was unusual besides the crowd filing out was people piping up after the game. Let's listen to a little bit of Deshaun Elliott. You got your beeps ready, Sean?
Yeah, we'll get the sensors out, but let's find Deshaun Elliott here. There was a lot of very interesting comments, I would say. He had one of them, so here we go.
First off, guys can't be f-ing wide open. That's the first thing. Just do your job, you know? We communicated, guys just weren't doing their freaking job. So, let's get back to the drawing boards. It's week 18. We shouldn't be having these problems in week 18. This is a week one, week two problem. So I don't know where we went down the line, started becoming a whole different defense than what we were, but we got to get back to who we are.
Like I said, last week I'll partially overlook it because I think any team, if you take out three quarters of their secondary, a starting defensive lineman and their star linebacker is at half speed, you're going to have problems against Lamar Jackson. But man, they were back. These guys were back and on the field. Although TJ didn't look like himself again, did he? If he's not right for the playoffs, a team that's already in big trouble has no chance. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and you brought up the point a couple days ago how it was kind of weird how the Steelers deployed some guys who were banged up against Baltimore, not others who maybe could have played. You have to wonder if that was maybe to the detriment of TJ Watt playing in that game, and would they have been better off just having him sit these two games?
Yes.
I know you think if we win against Baltimore, we can then...
Right.
But it didn't play out like that, and it backfired.
I think Tomlin wanted to have it both ways. It would be like if you... I don't know what the analogy is. What's the analogy to
have your cake and eat it too?
Have your cake and eat it too. Is it lottery tickets? If you bought a couple? I don't know what it is, but... He wanted to have his hand in both piles. He wanted to play TJ in that game and put Joey Porter, and obviously injured Joey Porter went back in that game, while he was simultaneously clearly saving guys for this game. Obviously, if that Baltimore game had been a playoff game, I think a lot of these guys would have played, including Pickens. I think Tomlin held off. I think his philosophy was, I'm going to give myself a decent chance to win both. Or either, instead of the best chance, put all my, that's it, putting all his eggs in one basket. He put 6 in one basket and 4 in the other. I mean, 12 in the other. I mean, 6 in the other to add up for 12.
He got Easter and Christmas confused, I guess.
Yeah, it's clearly so did I in that case.
If they had played everyone, Pickens, Elliott, and I do believe those guys were nowhere close to 100%. So you understand why, you know, maybe they said, well, this guy's slightly more at risk for re-aggravation than maybe TJ Watt was, for instance. But if you find a way to get everyone in that Baltimore game and win it, then you have the luxury that right. You don't have to worry about playing these guys against the Chiefs, because for all intents and purposes, that game has much less meaning.
Yeah.
And now you have to have everyone all hands on deck for this upcoming game. There was talk a few weeks ago, well, they could rest against Cincinnati if things play out well. Not the case.
Well, that's an interesting question, too, Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers. I mean, what are the odds that they win and Cleveland loses? Do you now just rest guys?
I think the difference is...
Who are clearly injured?
It's not just about the Ravens at this point, though, right? Because you could drop down, depending on what the Chargers and Broncos do, into a matchup where you head to Buffalo. I think you want to keep that number 5 spot.
But keep that 5 spot at what cost? See, I don't know. I don't know what's happening with TJ. I don't. But every single person listening to this show, and you and I know that that is not him. A guy getting single blocked by anybody. You saw him in the Philly game getting single blocked sometimes by one of the best tackles in football. And he destroyed the guy. So please don't tell me that we think he's anywhere near full strength. Now, I just don't know what. Does rest do him a lot of good at this point? Or is it the type of thing where, listen, you're injured, this injury won't get worse, but it also won't get better with rest, that type of thing? I don't know, man, but with T.J. Watt looking like a mortal, I don't think they have much of a shot to beat anybody, to be honest with you. He's that important.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to hear Patrick Queen, too. He had a clip
and
that
Well, that's the other part of that, Deshaun Elliott, was, you know, again, last week you have all these moving parts. You could sort of see why they'd be disorganized at times. Not so this week. This was a disaster. And I'm not even sure, you know, how much of it was player malfunction and how much was players not being adequately prepared by their coaches. I think that's a pretty good question. But it was a disaster from the jump. Let's hear Patrick Queen. And Cam Sutton's not very good.
Did you see my flop today?
Yep.
What's the explanation for that?
No explanation. It came off flat.
How do you kind of explain just the slump you guys have been in as a defense, especially the last 3 weeks?
Can't explain it. It's happening, and we keep talking about it, and nobody doing anything about it, so I don't know.
How frustrating is it that it feels like nobody's doing anything about it?
It's frustrating.
I don't think he's lived up to his billing either, to be honest. Patrick Queen's been okay. He's had some really good moments. The first Ravens game, he made some big plays. He's been a disappointment, a mild disappointment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think, what was it, Rob Long that raised the question, what big plays has he made? He's making tackles, but is he making big plays? And that was a game yesterday where the Steelers desperately needed a big play. And correct me if I'm wrong, he was the player who dropped what could have been a massive interception that could have swung the game, right?
Yes.
I mean, they get that interception, maybe the game turns out different. Maybe not. Who knows? But the Steelers did run the football well. You got the feeling.
I got the feeling that Kansas City was in rope-a-dope mode where, yeah, if you want to gain some yards on the ground, go ahead. Plus, I would argue this, Sean. They got like 60 yards on the ground on that last meaningless drive. That's when Najee did all his work, right?
Is it fair to say in a game against a team like Kansas City, the Steelers probably have to either have the lead early or at least be on even terms?
Yes.
Because the second that they fall behind by multiple scores, I don't think this team's going to have it to come back, even with George Pickens playing against good teams.
Or sort of playing like he was yesterday. Here's the other thing. Jaylen Warren's the best running back on this team and needs to get the ball, period. It's time for Jaylen Warren to have a 20-25 carry game and to be treated like he's a number one running back, because that's what he is on this team. Najee, for a lot of the game yesterday, looked painfully slow, unable to elude even one defender. I remember in particular a pass down by the goal line, quick swing pass. Dan Moore didn't have a great block, but you got one guy to beat and he tackles you. He just looked really slow. Jaylen Warren's the best running back on this team, and they need to go into a game determined to feed him the ball 20 to 25 times. Agree or disagree?
They're more determined to get Cordarrelle Patterson a random third down carry.
Oh, third and two. The Artie infatuation with Cordarrelle Patterson is just mind-blowing. And I know he made a great catch last week, but come on, Artie. Here's a stat for you. The Steelers have played 8 times against teams currently in playoff position. Atlanta, Denver, the Chargers, Washington, Baltimore twice, Philly and Kansas City. What are they averaging points per game? I'll tell you when we come back, Sean.
That's a great tease.
Yeah, this one, I'll just say this. It's the type of number that got Matt Canada fired. So, you know, kind of like Indiana in college football, except this isn't college football. You best judge a team on who they are when they're playing other good people, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. And he said on this Netflix thing, about 8,000 times, we love to play good people. I'd rather play bad people and take my chances in the playoffs, because I'm not sure the Steelers are one of the good peoples here. They seem to be a slightly above mediocre people in the NFL. All right. 50-minute mark coming up, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'm taking you right up to just before noon when we get ready for Pitt's bowl game.